Baruch Hashem is zeicha to enter once again into the magnificent world of Tzadik Yisrael Adam Baruch Kuk Zichron Levracha. We began last year, or the last month, still this year, we began to learn the Maimer Hador, the generation Hador. We spent some time at the beginning by way of Hakdama to sort of marvel at how relevant every word, every thought, every hergish, every emotion that's invested into this remarkable country is, how relevant it is to our times. So far, mostly what we've been learning in the Maimer, we're on page 16. Mostly it's been Rav Kook's cry. Looking at a generation which at one time he sees as being very idealistic, very elevated, very holy, but at the same time very broken, in many ways spiritually dysfunctional. And he's trying to understand what has changed, what has happened, what's different about the generation. In the past, we learned, I'm not going to review everything, but in the past, Rav Kook says, of course there were always Jews that abandoned Yiddishkeit. It's not something new. The Jews that left the fold. But the leaving of the fold was generally part of an overall program of Hefkeres. Meaning that in the past, of course, there's been Kfira, heresy, and there were individuals who left Torah mitzvahs. But it was part of a general way of abandonment, of giving in to one's tithes, of giving in to the darker side of life. Avodah Zarah, which included, in, as you know, in ancient times, many other disgusting things, not just the idolatry itself. It came with a lot of other stuff. But in our times, Rav Kook says, in our times we find that the people who are rebelling, the generation that's rebelling, it's just the opposite. Exceptional people, refined people, idealistic people, people with great dreams and hopes, people who take life very seriously. Of course you always have those who will join, who are just looking for a way out. Old-fashioned kaifim, you always have. But the atmosphere of the generation is a serious one, filled with tremendous idealism and filled with a great love of the Jewish people. And Rav Kook is trying to understand, what is this? There has never been such a generation where people are so great and they're so small in terms of their Yiddishkeit, in terms of their observance of mitzvahs. What's happened? What's different? And what can we do? And what can we do to change things? It's clear, Rav Kook says, that what's happening is not a merida. It's not a rebellion against Yiddishkeit. It's not meant to be a rebellion against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not a merida. It's not a rebellion against Yiddishkeit, against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's something happening as we draw closer to Mashiach Zakeinu. There are spiritual, intellectual, emotional demands that this generation is making on the older generation, on the old school. There are questions that the generation has that in the past they didn't have. We'll talk about that a lot. They didn't have these questions. Now, why they have these questions now, we'll talk about Mitzvah. But they didn't have these questions, and they didn't demand answers. And they also didn't demand the fulfillment of certain she'ifas, of certain longings, great spiritual longings, and so on. That was not that was not the general portfolio of young people or older people through the ages, with the exception of individuals. Therefore, what Rav Kook says is that we have to do something to show the generation, and we have to believe this, that the Yushalayim Shalmala, that's where we ended in June, that the Yushalayim Shalmala is to be found in the Yushalayim Shalmata, to bring together that higher world, the higher ideals of what it means to be a Jew, the sheifas, the great longings of the generation, the Yushalayim Shalmala, with the practical day-to-day observance of halacha and living a Jewish life in the Yushalayim Shalmata. That these two worlds are not separate one from the other. Because what's happened is that the young generation has come to believe that their ideals, their spiritual needs are not to be met by Shulchan Aruch, are not to be found in the old traditional way of life. So they feel completely detached from, Torah mitzvahs. And what Rav Kook is explaining is that that's simply not true. We have to reach out to the generation and show the generation that all that they're looking for is to be found, the Yushalayim Shalmala is to be found in the Yushalayim Shalmata, and to join the Yushalayim above, the Yushalayim below. On page 16, a few lines down, Hava Nachin Lo Ladar Es HaDarach. Hava Nachin Lo Ladar Es HaDarach. Let us prepare for the generation a path. Hava Nachin Lo Ladar Es HaDarach. Nara Lo Yis Mavoy Ha'ir. We must show the generation the way, an entrance into the city. Again, he's alluding to Yerushalayim. L'man yuchal limtzay es ha-pesach. In order that the generation should be able to find an opening. Ne'idiyah lo yishayimtza mashu mevakesh, davke begvul Yisrael. We must let the generation know that what it's looking for, what it's looking for is davka going to be found Bigvul Yisrael, within the borders of the Jewish people. Because everybody's going around all over the world, to every library of the world, looking for the Yushalayim Shalmala. But the only place that the Jew is going to find that is davka Bigvul Yisrael. It's davka within the borders of Yisrael. And therefore, as Shlomo Melech says, He brings some Shir HaShirim. Achastiv v'lo arpenu. We must hold on to the generation. V'lo arpenu. And not to let go. Not to write them off as a bunch of Mechalei Shabbos people eating treifas and so on who are not interested in Yiddishkeit, who don't want to learn. Achastiv, Shlomo Melech says in Shir HaShirim, I will hold on and I won't let go. Achastiv, I will hold on to my beloved. V'lo arpenu. I won't let him go. Ad Shaveisiv El Beis Imi Vel Cheder Hairosi. Until I bring him to my mother's home and to the room, to the bedroom of my parents, until we're able to bring the generation back to Torah Mitzvahs, to our mother's home, to the Shechina, to the way of Yiddishkeit, Cheder Hairosi. Cheder Hairosi means where he was conceived. The room of the parents, Cheder Hairosi, a parent, Hora, Horim are parents, Hayoim Haras Olam, means to conceive. The parents' room is the place where the child is conceived. And Rav Kook says, we can't let go of the generation. We must bring the generation back, El Beis Imi, to the home of her mother. They'll cheder harasi, enter the room where the generation was conceived, meaning back to Yushalayim Shalmal, back to who we are. It's all to be found in Torah. And Hogcha, again from Shir Shir, and Hogcha, I would lead you. I want to lead you. I want to bring you. And Hogcha, Aviyache al Beis Imi Tlamdeni. I want to bring you to the house of my mother who raised me. Let's return. Let's bring the generation. Let's bring the young people back to our mother's house where we were raised. Ashkecha miyayin harekach, and what will take place over there? Ashkecha miyayin harekach me'asis rimoni. I will give you to drink from the spiced wine, and asis the juice, like the tamsis, you know, the strong juice of the rimonim of the pomegranates. Of course, what Rav Kook is talking about here. The reason he brings this here is to return to that which we spoke a lot about when we were learning Aris HaTorah. The whole Aris HaTorah is built on. Hashkecha miyayin harekach me'asis rimoni means over there I will give you to drink from the inner essence of Torah. Hashkecha miyayin harekach yeinu shel Torah. Those who have ever learned the Sikha from Lubavitcher Rebbe's Chusel, and you know that if he goes to the whole Sikha at the end, it's Miyena Shal Torah, it's the wine of Torah. Wine is the inner essence, the Sod. Yain is the Gematria, wine is the Gematria, Sod, secret. It's the secret of Yiddishkeit. It's Pnimius, the inner essence of Torah of Yiddishkeit. So Rav Kook says, we must bring our children, we must bring ourselves, the generation, to our mother's home, to the Shechina Kedosha, back to Torah Mitzvahs. And the way to do that is through giving the generation to drink from the Yain Harekach, from the Asis Rimein, from the delicious spiced wine and the juice of the pomegranates. The wine is talking about a level of Torah learning, to learn it with the generation Pnimius HaTorah, the deepest Torah. And the Asis Rimoni, you know that Chazal say that the reason that we're compared to a Rimon, to a pomegranate, is because Afil Poishim Shebehem, even Jews who are sinners, are Meleim Mitzvahs Kerimon, are filled with mitzvahs like a Rimon, like a pomegranate. Because the Indian of the one of the Simonim on Rosh Hashanah is the Rimon. It's much, much deeper than the 613, which every shaykh sits around counting seeds, you know, most to figure to see if his rimon has the magic number 613. It means the pnimius of mitzvahs, the deeper taste of mitzvahs. Yain is limud haTorah, the wine of limud haTorah. It means learning Torah in the deepest way. And the juice that's squeezed out of the rimon of the pomegranates, mitzvahs, I feel a push of Yisrael, I'm laying mitzvahs kerimon. Mitzvahs are compared to the rimon, to the pomegranate. Mitzvahs. We have to show the generation that if you take the mitzvah, if you take Shabbos and you squeeze Shabbos, then you'll see that Shabbos is the most delicious thing in the world. If you take your tefillin and you squeeze your tefillin, the juice is the most delicious juice there is. The tamsis, the juice, the nectar of mitzvahs. In the past, we didn't have to do that. We'll talk about it. Rav Kook talks about why we didn't have to do that in the past. But we didn't have to do that in the past. But now, if you're going to serve the generation bland Yiddishkeit, a wine that is tasteless, a Torah that is bland, that is dry, and if you're going to serve up the mitzvahs, the 613 mitzvahs, or the mitzvahs that we're able to keep now, and if you're going to give these mitzvahs and in a way that they're tasteless, that they don't have a taste, and we expect the generation to continue as Jews have been doing for thousands of years, to just mechanically continue to observe without needing a taste. This is the great dilemma that many of the Machanchim of the generation, Baruch Cook, and our generation have. Like, why? What's your problem? Why can't you just go on keeping Shabbos? What is this great cataclysmic thing that's happened to you that you all of a sudden don't want to stay in yeshiva? Why? We also know. So the older people are saying, I also wasn't so thrilled with this or with that, but we stayed firm. So what is it about you? Like, why are you getting so anxious to leave? What happened? You think davening meant any more to us than it means to you? What did davening mean to the old generation? Want to take a little tour to go to some shtiebel somewhere? You want to see everybody screaming and crying? I mean, there are two or three in the world, but otherwise the old chavra are just as bored as the young chavra. That's not the mitzvahs. That's the mitzvahs. I mean, there are exceptions, and it sounds very depressing to talk that way. I'm sorry. I mean, there are exceptions. But for the most part, there's not much happening. It's not much happening. People are more worried about the seats that they're going to get for Yom Kippur than what's going to happen when they get to the seat. That's just the way things are. They should just take the seat back with them after last Yom Kippur and keep it at home. You don't have to be nervous that someone's going to take it. Just take the seat back. And keep with you the whole year. Walk around. And if someone asks you, how's your Yiddish guy? I said, this is my seat from Rosh Hashanah. Just carry it with you on the train, carry it to work. You have your seat from Rosh Hashanah. No one can take it. So something happened. They're not satisfied anymore to say, do it. Just stay in yeshiva. I don't remember ever thinking when I was growing up, and we were, you know, being told, put your finger and look in this and say this. I don't remember ever thinking, like, why? I don't think I ever asked anybody, especially myself. I never asked in my head, why do we do this? I never asked such a thing. And it's not like I was an introspective little guy. I used to think about stuff, but I never thought about why we do this. I never thought about why. I never asked. I never had this like big discussion with my father. You know, Daddy, like, why do we keep Shabbos? I never asked him that. It's not because I was afraid to ask my father things. I just never asked him that. Never entered my mind that there was a question. So that's what we do. Jews do these things. We put on tzitzis and we wash nagelvasser. We do stuff. These are the things we do. Didn't ask why. So for a long time, the question why, for the most part, was missing from our lips. For the most part, exceptions. And as I got older, I began to think about things like that, but for the most part, growing up, that wasn't the question. So the old generation would still like to serve the same Torah mitzvahs that they received, which was dry wine. I don't know, that's not the right thing to say, because there's people, dry wine could be good, I don't know. It means wine without a taste, not dry. But without a taste, wine without a taste. And mitzvahs that don't have the sweetness of the nectar of a pomegranate. So Rav Kook says, we can't do this anymore. We have to go back to the house of our mother, to the place that we were conceived. Am Yisrael wasn't conceived in a Yiddishkeit that was bland and dry and empty. That's not how Am Yisrael was conceived. At Maimon HaSinai, there was a Karlebach at the Heres. You understand? Much better than that, if it's possible. We weren't conceived in emptiness and in dryness. We were conceived, Beis Imi Cheder Harasi, there was tremendous romance that took place in that room of Kodesh Baruch Hu and the Shechina that gave birth to Am Yisrael and to the Torah. There was tremendous romance and passion in that place. Tremendous passion. Hashem Baruch says, Panim, upon the I spoke to you face to face. Nafshi yotze bedavra, our souls mamish left us. It was yanosi tamosi, the whole shira shira. That's how Yiddishkeit. That's how Yiddishkeit was given to us. It was given to us with tremendous romance and passion. That's how it happened. That's called Beis Imi. Beis Imi. Chazal say that. That's Maimon HaSinai. And the Yain, Diglo Alayahava. All of Shir Shirim. Cheder HaRosi, the room of my parents, where I was conceived, where Am Yisrael was conceived, was a place of tremendous romance and passion. That's how Am Yisrael became Am Yisrael. Could you imagine what it must have been if so many thousands of years later we're still going about the motions of putting on tefillin and davening and keeping Shabbat and mitzvahs even without feeling? Can you imagine what it must have been? That's something. But we're still doing it because of Cheder HaRosi. And the Baruch Hashem, there were tzaddikim through the generations who remembered Cheder HaRosi, who remembered Hayoyim Haras Olam. Hayoyim haras oimah. Ze hayoyim tchilas ma'asecha. Zikaron liyom rishon, what that yom rishon was. The original tzura of Torah, the original tzura of Torah was Ashkecha miyayin harekach miasis rimayini. That's how Yiddishkeit began. Therefore, if Cook continues, it says, Loi nashek mimenu es kol ha'or v'hatayv. We cannot steal, we cannot take away, and we will not take away from the young generation all of the light and all of the good, meaning of the idealism that the generation has found. So the kid comes home and he wants to join the Communist Party. We talked about it in those days, right? He wants to join the Communist Party. Kid comes home, he says, I'm not going to yeshiva anymore, I'm not going to chedim, I want to join the Communist Party. That was the beginning then. We're not interested in this stuff. That was cooking back then. So kid comes home, he says, I'm not interested in, I'm, if I was, what happened to you? And Velazhen, I'm back from Velazhen, I want to be a communist. You're a Rosha, you're a Shegitz, an Epicurus, you're a Goy. Afa piche. What Rav Kook is saying is that the desire to be a communist, the desire to be a communist is a desire for Or V'Toiv. Right? Why is it that Jews want Meshuggah for that? Jews want Meshuggah for communism, socialism. They're like, there's around 11 or 12 people still in Eretz Yisrael that are like that. Why did they go so crazy for that? What was it about that captured the hearts and the imagination? Because the idealism is meritic, the idealism. It sounds so good. It didn't work out. It can't work out. It can't work out in such a, it can't work out without the Rabbanu Shalom. You can't have such a thing. But what they wanted, and the reason that these boys came home from Volozhin with the Communist Manifesto, well, they didn't really come home with that. That was later on. It's China. But the reason, figuratively, that they came home with that she'ifa, with that longing, the reason they came home with that is because they were looking for kol ha'or v'hatoiv. And when the old generation said, why don't you just look at the Tosis and Yevamis? Why don't you just learn the Tosis? That's kol ha'or v'hatoiv. Why don't you learn? What's the matter? What about Shabbos? Isn't Shabbos kol ha'or v'hatoiv? So the little communist says to his father, what do you mean? You fell asleep by Kiddush last week. We had to wait for you for half hour. Where's the or v'hatoiv in Kiddush? So the little communist began to think that there is no Yushalayim Shel Mala in the Yushalayim Shel Mata. There is nothing here. What is Kiddush? Kiddush is just what we got to go through to get to the to get to the food. So the little communist was looking for Ha'or V'Hatoiv. Ha'or V'Hatoiv. Was looking for something good. Was looking for wine. Was looking for the juice of the Rimon, of the Parmigan. And the Yiddishkeit that we were showing the kid, he didn't see any. He didn't taste anything like that. It was dry and it was empty. It's not like he didn't care. It's not like he didn't give it a shot. But he didn't taste it. Either always Yechidim, they got Meshigah with the learning. Fine. It was great. But we're not talking about a few people that went off the derech. We've discussed this many, many times. Especially when it comes to Russia and Lithuania and the larger cities in Hungary and Poland, there was a huge migration away from Yiddishkeit. Huge migration away from Yiddishkeit. Tremendous, tremendous abandonment of Torah mitzvahs. So to say that just all of a sudden that these people, and they're not good people, and they're Shkotzim, and they're Rishoyim, and they're Apikorsim, and so on, that's a very, very shallow and simplistic way of responding to the problem of the generation. The generation, of course, is telling us clearly is in pain. And the generation is looking for Kol Ha'or V'Hatoiv. They're looking for Kol Ha'or V'Hatoiv. They just don't see that in the Yiddishkeit that they were given. That's not exactly what's happening now. It's exactly what's happening now. They don't see it in Yiddishkeit. Therefore, of course, says Loi Nashek Mimenu. We mustn't take away from the generation as Kol Ha'or V'Hatoiv, this spirit of idealism. We mustn't take it away from them. We mustn't in any way crush that spirit of excitement of idealism. As Kol HaZohar V'Ha'otzma, all of the light, the brilliance, for Otzma, the power, Shirochash Loi, that the generation has acquired. Page 17. Ki im narba layam. We have to make it clear to the generation that we're not coming to take away from you the light and the idealism. We're not coming to take away from you the smell of the flowers and the moonlight that you never saw while you were sitting in a decrepit Beis Medrash someplace with spider webs, like Bialik describes, and cobwebs and spider webs, and the roof caving in. And remember, my son was in Yeshiva Yerushalayim. The Beis Medrash was very, very, very crowded where he was. It was in Yeshiva, and so he ended up, his seat was right under the air conditioner. Not central air conditioner. It was right under a unit. And Ushi told me that the whole day it was dripping on him. Dripping on the... Dip, dip. The whole day. The air conditioner is dripping. So he spoke to somebody. He said, that's what it... Just the air conditioner drips. We don't have the money for that. Speak to your father if he could get somebody with me to get us a new air conditioner. That's usually how things went. So Rav Kook says we're not throwing you back into the dripping air conditioner situation. And we're not telling you that you can't be outside and live and breathe, that you can't be a human being, that you can't enjoy nature, that you can't fall in love. He says we mustn't tell that. It's not true. That's not what Yiddishkeit is. Yiddishkeit doesn't mean that you're doomed to sit under a dripping air conditioner or whatever your dripping air conditioner was. Things the yeshiva is now much nicer than they used to be. So. That's not what Yiddishkeit is. So we're not coming to take away from you the life that you have found and the light that you have found in your new idealism in the revolution. We're not coming to take that away from you. He says, Adrabba, Rav Kook says, Kim narba layam. We're only coming to add more taste, more wine, more delicacies, more pleasure, more depth, more enjoyment. We're only coming to take that which you have found in his time through socialism, through communism, an ethical, moral model for society of how people can get along with each other and how there shouldn't be any wars and people care for each other and help each other and so on. All of the social improvements that were being sought at that time of Rav Kook, to be able to vote, to have rights, things that we take for granted. They didn't have, Jews didn't have, to be able to have rights. So Jews were at the forefront fighting for these things, for these great ideals. And they were excited about fighting for these things. Equality, and so on. So you think that we're coming to take that away from you, and we're going to drag you away from the parade, and we're going to throw you back into the darkness, into the cellar, into the dungeon of the yeshiva, and that Yiddishkeit is going to take away from you that air that you're finally breathing, because your whole life you're suffocating. And we're here to take away from you that light and that oxygen that you had searching for these ideals and fighting for these new principles. So Rav Kook says that's not true. Of course, the sad thing is that Rav Kook had a different way to give Yiddishkeit, but most of the generation did not have anything different to offer. Didn't have anything else to offer, and it's already 100 years later, and there's much more, Baruch Hashem, much more, but it's still not anything that Rav Kook envisioned. We must shine upon them, meaning the generation, the light of life. Yiddishkeit is the light of life. Yain harekach, asis rimoini. Nazriach lehem b'or shel chayim, b'or emes, the light of truth. Haman hir mimkor haneshom ha-yisraelis. Man hir is also the flowing river or the flowing light. The word man here is from the word nahar. Nahar is light, nahar is a river. He's referring here to the sphere of Bina. I mean, every word here is also with Kabbalah things. But Haman him imkur haneshama Yisraelis. We must shine upon the generation the light of life, the light of truth, the light that comes from the source of the Jewish soul, from Yushalayim Shalom. Now, Rav Kook dissects, analyzes the shayrish of the problem. He returns to this, but here he identifies the nekuda pnimis and what needs to be done. And he mentions over here in this next section that there are three basic, actually there are four she'ifas of the generation, that have four longings, yearnings, cravings that the generation has that must be met. The ikur, which he's going to talk about right now, the ikur is machshava, intellectual sophistication. To understand. That's one shifa. To understand. The generation wants to know why. That was not something of the past. To understand. There's a shifa in the world of machshava. There's a longing to understand. So there's an intellectual shifa. to get it, to try to understand what is this. That's the first she'ifa. There's a she'ifa that the generation has for omets. The Jews have to be courageous. Jews have to have omets. The young generation is tired of the bent over, frightened little ghetto Jew. They don't want to live this way. The generation wants to be able to stare the anti-Semite in the face. The generation is tired of it. We're not putting up with this anymore. Omets. The third, he talks about the third sheaf of the generation is Gvuras Hachayim. Gvuras Hachayim. A longing for an exhilarated, healthy way of life. A life that's healthy, that's strong. The Jews should be healthy. Physically, emotionally, Gvur Sachayim, to be alive. And the fourth she'ifa that the generation longs for is Sheket, quiet, peace. That's the fourth. None of these she'ifas does the generation identify with the old school. The new generation doesn't see these being supplied by the old generation. And there's a terrible break, as we were talking about at the beginning of the Sefer, between the parents and the children. They see Yiddishkeit as being the enemy of all of these she'ifas. They believe that Yiddishkeit is opposed to this she'ifa for omets, for certain courage, type of courage. Chazak v'yametz libecha. Courage is the word, encouraged, courage. Omets, there's better words in English, I don't remember. But everybody knows what that means. Omets. And they don't see Yiddishkeit as being a source of omets. If anything, they see Yiddishkeit as being something that weakens, that makes Jews fearful, frightened little creatures.
Confidence,
good. Omets is confidence. Right. And as far as Gvuras Hachayim, again, they don't see that Yiddishkeit is the source of Gvuras Hachayim. They see Yiddishkeit as that which stands in the way of being alive, of being outdoors, of having a warm and loving relationship, friends, Chasam Kala, and so on. Gvuras Hachayim. Because mostly what they grew up hearing was the word no. Can we do this? No. Is this allowed? No. What does the Torah say about this? It's Aser. The only question is whether it's the Raisa or the Rabbana, but it's Aser. So that's what they heard. So every time they think of Yiddishkeit, they think of barriers and walls and, like, you know, skeleton, like a. And arrows, forbidden, 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 you can't go here, no entrance, you can't come over here. So the parents are saying, you should just continue on with the way that it always was. Look at mommy and look at me and mommy. Look how we have this home we built. So he says, that's exactly why I'm running away. I think I want to be as miserable as the two of you. We can't stand each other. You have nothing in common. What do you mean? We're both Jewish. After that, you have nothing in common. Absolutely nothing. I've never seen anything that the two of you have with each other. couldn't bear this. Sheket, peace, there should be quiet. But the new generation thought that the way to find that quiet, the way to find that peace, was by joining the ranks of the non-Jewish world. Because they understood that being a Jew meant a life of turbulence. A life of turbulence, of misery. And the only way to get out of that, and to find sheket, to find shalva, to find shalom, was to join them. Was to leave the community. Because the community was noisy. There was internal noise. A tremendous amount of internal noise at the time of Rav Kook. I read once, I don't remember which one of the writers it was. I don't remember if it was Agnon or Bialik, I don't remember, but describing like a typical scene in a train where Jews were sitting in the car, because they always sat in one place, the Jews. And the kind of arguments and fights that would be going on, like in one thing, like there'd be 15, 20 Jews sitting in that car of the train. And this one's a Bundes, this one's a Chassid, this one's a Litvak, this one's a Zionist, this one's a Communist. Everybody hacking and screaming and yelling and going crazy with each other. There's internal noise. We're very, very noisy. Jews are very noisy. We have a lot of inyanim going on. We have a lot of things on our minds. And we're very idealistic. So there's a lot of stuff. So there's internal noise, which itself... many of these people found unbearable. They just couldn't take anymore the handling in the stores and the Jewish way of life that was going on for so long. Just the handling, the haggling, the way we live, couldn't take it. And there's of course the external noise. The external noise was war, pogroms, killing Jews, suffering with the tsaras. So this was another she'ifa the generation had. But the ikr Rav Kook saw in machshav, the intellect, the she'ifa to understand. Hamachla ha'neira shel hadar. Therefore, Rav Kook says, the horrible sickness of the generation, ein mekayma ha'ikari, its main place, its root, is lo balev, is not in the heart. Lo beregesh, not in the emotions. There are problems, but that's not the main. Lo belev, lo beregesh. Lo betaiva vehefkeris, not in the worldly desires and hefkeris, a wildness. Again, this is what everybody else was saying. The problem with the generation is the lev, the regesh, the taiva, and the hefkeris. That's what they're still saying. Of course, there's truth to that. These are problems. But Rav Kook says it's not the shayrish. It's not the shayrish of the problem. And it's still not the shayrish of the problem. Even though we see the taiva and the hefkeris. The taiva is the hefkeris. Terrible. The taiva is terrible. But just as Rav Kook was 100% right then, it's 100% true now as well. That's not the shayrish. That's not the shayrish. The taiva is the hefkeris. It's not the shayrish. You put the biggest baal taiva in the world. You put the biggest baal taiva in the world in a room with Rav Kook for a half hour, and he's not going to come out anymore baal taiva. Doesn't mean he doesn't have taivas. He'll be a fiery tzaddik. He'll come out of the room a tzaddik on fire with the Rabbi Shalom. There's something the baal taiva doesn't get. There's something that hasn't been explained to him. So his taiva is for disgusting things. When he understands, his taiva will be for holy things. He doesn't understand. And it's not the same nowadays. It's not the same. It's the same thing. But Jews don't want to enjoy Shabbos. They don't want to appreciate Shabbos. They don't understand Shabbos. They don't know what Shabbos is. All they know is there's a day off from work, so the only way that they could understand that is that it's a day off from work, so a day off from work I relax and I am with my family and I eat my favorite foods. in order to guard the tzura of being a Jew, I have to do the shachris thing. Shachris, and now you have a lot of people that don't even go anymore to mincha. You have people that don't even go to mincha. They have something on their block that they could look into the window and hatrech b'shimcha. That's already, mincha already is not so popular. Ma'ariv is so. So, therefore, they're not Meshuggah with Shabbos. Cool, they don't understand Shabbos. Shabbos is boring. For kids, it's terribly, terribly boring. For the adults, it's very relaxing, as long as they could keep their kids from being bored. Then for the parents, it's relaxing. The only problem that the parents have with Shabbos is that the kids also don't understand Shabbos. Not only the parents don't understand, the kids also don't understand Shabbos. So the kids are terribly, terribly bored with Shabbos, and the parents have to find ways to entertain the kids. So they have to find Shabbos play dates, whatever, all that stuff. The kids are bored and the parents are bored. The only thing is, the parents like being bored on Shabbos, because the whole week is so crazy. So finally I have a day where I can have a little bit boredom. So they enjoy the boredom of Shabbos. The children, of course, the children are still hoping that life has some meaning. So the children, they come, they say, okay, what are we going to do now? What's on the schedule? The parents say, eating and sleeping. That's on the schedule. You better not bother me. If you bother me, I'm going to kill you. Don't mess up my meal. Don't like interrupt. If you can go to sleep, but it's only 4:30. Shabbos is the winter. You go to sleep. It's very, very late. You see, it's dark outside. You have to go to sleep. Don't mess up my meal. Don't make any noise during the meal. Don't mess up my meal. Don't stare my eating, because that's one of the main, that's the big activity of Shabbos. Don't stare my eating. That's one of the main rituals. Don't stare my eating, and don't stare my sleeping. Ah, but what about davening? No, davening you can stare. That's okay. We'll go to groups. You know, I'll take you to groups like 9 o'clock. You hang out in the hall. You bring me out into the hall a few times. That's okay. Davening you can stare. That's not davening you can stare. But my eating and my sleeping, don't you bother? Don't you start with my eating and sleeping. So the kids want to do, like, say, wait, what? It's Shabbos. What are we doing? Shabbos. And the kids are bored. The parents are bored. So Shabbos. So everybody's now waiting. So finally, these long summer Shabboses are going to be over, and we'll get back for the short Shabbos, so we can have some exciting, let's say, Shabbos, to whatever. Put the kids to sleep and go to the movies or something. You don't have to go to the movies, whatever. Yeah, movies, now they come to you. But to close the door and lock the door, and we can look at the thing. So the problem is that nobody understands Shabbos. You know, nobody understands Shabbos. I was talking to a bracha this week. He was trying out his shiur in the yeshiva. He was going through the shiur in the yeshiva. So I asked him, how's it going? He says, it's all right. So something is all right. What's wrong? You don't sound too excited. So he said, no. So he said that my friends are there. It's a very, very good chaver. It's very nice from Eretz Yisrael. We're all together, my chaver. So I said, I mean, I didn't ask you about whether it's a nice club. I asked you about the shiur. Like what? So I said, okay. So then what's wrong? He says, I don't understand a word that he's saying. I didn't get one thing. The whole week, I didn't get one thing that the Rebbe said. I said, that's pretty discouraging. He said, I didn't understand. I said, maybe it's not the right shiur for you. Or, I don't know. We got to see what you can do about that. It's not going to work out well, like, to be in such a shiur, that if you don't understand it, how could you enjoy it? No? If you don't understand something, you can't enjoy it. Maskim? If you don't understand something, you can't enjoy it. Unless it's a base, pure physical act. But if it's something more than that, if you don't understand it, you can't enjoy it. Hamachla neirosh lahadar ein mekam ha'ikari. The cause of the shurish of the sickness is not lo belev lo beregish lo betayv afkeris lo biyadayim poalos oven. Not hands that are busy sinning. Of course, there are people that are sinning. Yadayim poalos oven, that are doing things that are wrong. Hands that are doing things that are sinful. or legs that are running to go to do aveiros. These are symptoms. It's not the cause, it's not the sherish of the sickness. Why are people sinning? Why is it that their emotions are, that they have no feeling for Yiddishka? Why is it that they're crazy for, that they want other things? Why is it that they're with taivis and have cares? These are all symptoms of a sickness. He says, even though, of course, these are all, this is sickness and pain. These are all symptoms of the sickness and the pain. But the basis, the shirish, the root of the sickness is the brain, is the moach. Koach ha-machshava. That's the root of the sickness. Moach, koach ha-machshava. Totally, totally distorted way of understanding Yiddishkeit. Completely distorted. Distorted, or if it's not distorted, a completely shallow, empty, superficial understanding of Yiddishkeit. Koach ha-machshava. What exactly is that? What is the problem with the koach ha-machshava? And remember, we're talking about Jews. Jews are very bright people, intelligent people. They have the capacity to understand. Not talking about people that can't understand. They're smart people. I'm Chacham v'Novim. The Baruch Shalom said they're smart. So Bez Hashem, next week we're going to try to understand. Since we're smart, we're going to try to understand what's wrong with our way of understanding. What's the problem with the Machshava that is the sherish of this Machla? And how v'Nachin u'Lador Esaderach? How can we work hard for our generation to try to find a path, a way to think differently for our generation? Good Shabbos.